Welcome to Rights Watch, a program about human rights around the world from Human Rights Watch. This is the podcast for Wednesday, October 7th. India is an economic powerhouse. It's a place where people from all over the world go for medical tourism and even surrogacy. It's also a place where large numbers of women die in childbirth. Liesl Gertholz is the director of the Women's Rights Program at Human Rights Watch. She's here to talk about why there are so many maternal deaths in India and what can be done about it.
The majority of women who are pregnant and who choose to give birth do so without major complications and are able to take their babies back home. But for a small number of pregnancies, there are complications. But even for those pregnancies, there's a package of care that we know works, and it's not a complicated thing to do. Women often need blood because often hemorrhaging is a problem. Women need to be able to have a cesarean section if the labor is obstructed. So if the baby is not going to be born naturally, we need to have the facilities to do a cesarean section and remove the baby safely. And ultimately, and perhaps the most importantly, if women do go into distress during labor and the facility that they've presented at doesn't have the facilities to safely deliver the baby or to give them blood or to give them the drugs they need, you need to have a referral system that will allow women to move on to the next level of care where these interventions can be made. This is not a case of not knowing what to do. In the Indian case, it's not even a case of not having enough money to put these interventions in place. What is happening in India in many, many places, and our research has looked particularly at Uttar Pradesh, which is a state that has a particularly high number of women who die during pregnancy and childbirth.
It's also one of the poorest states in India, right?
Yes. But what is happening there is that there is a program that is reaching out to rural women. It's the National Rural Health Mission. This program has put together emergency obstetric care, access to blood transfusions and drugs and so on. But the Indian government isn't monitoring how this package of care is being implemented. So what we found in Uttar Pradesh is that the system breaks down time and time again.
Tell me a little bit about what those breakdowns look like. What does that mean for a woman?
A very common example that we found is that the Indian government has designated certain facilities as being places where this package of care should be available. Many of those facilities don't have the drugs, they don't have midwives, they don't have facilities to do a cesarean section.
So they're encouraging women to go and use health centers, maybe women that wouldn't usually.
And women get there, they're in distress, they have often traveled long distances, and they get to a facility that can't help them, and they're then referred on to the next level. So we were able to interview families of women who had died because they had gone to the facility. There was no blood. Women bled to death.
And how is it a human rights issue?
It's a human rights issue simply because the Indian government must be held accountable. It must be held accountable in terms of international human rights standards, which give all women the right to the highest attainable physical and mental health. And many of the international covenants specifically acknowledge that maternal health is a special part of the right to health. So the Indian government firstly has international obligations because it has signed a number of international legal covenants. And secondly, the Indian government itself, in terms of its national programs and policies, has committed itself to improving the health of mothers and pregnant women. So the Indian government has got its national obligations and its international human rights obligations. And I think it's really important to say that the Indian government has acknowledged that this is a problem and that it needs to do more to improve maternal health.
Is it also an issue of countries like India not taking seriously enough women's deaths? That if this was something that, if this many men were dying, it would be more of a public health emergency?
I think the very fact that the Millennium Development Goal that is trying to reduce the number of women who die during pregnancy and childbirth is the one that is least likely to be met. And the fact that it has taken so long for the world to turn around and say this is a public health disaster, it's a global emergency, that it's only really over the last 18 months that we have seen global leadership on the issue of maternal health, I think it is perhaps an indication of how women's lives are valued. That the world has not done enough, particularly for poor women, to make sure that they're able to attain a good health status and that they're able to enjoy their human rights.
And also, I would imagine it impacts things like girls' education, or if a 9-year-old girl, her mother dies,
she'd be more likely to be kept home in a family that's a rural family that's in poverty to take care of the chores that her mother, the work that her mother would have done.
And typically what would happen to a child like that is that she will probably become responsible for caring for the baby, because one of the cases that we investigated in India was a woman who died and whose baby survived. And that family will struggle to find the resources to care for that child. And it is likely that some of that care will fall onto the little girl who was left behind, who is 10 years old.
And on a global level, we're talking about 500,000 women a year die this way. It looks like about 75% of those deaths are preventable with basic, and what we consider basic interventions.
Yes. And I think you really have to, when you think about that, if you think about sort of where people are dying, women in poor countries are dying. So women in India, women in sub-Saharan Africa are dying. So it's really the places where we can least afford to lose women, where communities are least equipped to absorb the loss of mothers, that these are the places that women are dying in such huge numbers.
And when we look at Africa and then we look at India, the maternal death rates are really high in countries like Sierra Leone and in Nigeria. Nigeria, I think, has the second largest number of maternal deaths following India in the world. But what are sort of the differences you see between India and some of those countries in Africa that have this work to do?
Well, I think even places like Sierra Leone can do better. But I think what distinguishes India is that India does have the resources to put in place a basic package of healthcare that will make an enormous difference. And where India has really failed is that it's simply not monitoring. So it has firstly acknowledged that it has a problem. And secondly, it has committed itself to addressing the problem. So it has developed programs that are trying to address the problem. So the fact that it's falling down at the monitoring level is a real tragedy, because for a place like Sierra Leone, they're not even, you know, that country is so poor, it is still recovering from decades-long civil war, that, you know, they're not even at the point where they're able to address maternal health care amongst the many, many other problems in the country. India has said, we know we have a problem, we realize that we have to address it, and they're doing important things. It's just this one component is missing, and that if you were able to put this component in place, it would already immediately make a huge difference. Because if I can just give you a really basic example, if you were able to track maternal deaths and you would find out that huge numbers of women were dying at one particular clinic, you would say, okay, well, we need to go to that clinic. We need to see what's happening there. We need to see what's not happening there. The Indian government doesn't have that information in many places. So they don't know that in some places the system is not working. They're not even collecting this basic information. So the same problems happen over and over and over again.
And in fact, there are people who are getting great care in private hospitals or even in public hospitals in cities, as far as I can tell as well.
And what we also looked at, Tamil Nadu, which is another state in India, which is not a particularly wealthy state, but that has begun to address the issue of accountability. And this tells us two things. One, that it's possible. And two, that when you begin to address accountability, it has an impact, a real impact on women's lives. Not just sort of, we're really not just talking about sort of good health systems and filling in forms and pieces of paper. We are really talking about making sure that fewer women die unnecessarily. And so there are examples even in India how you can make this work.
We have a lot more on this online. We have a project that we've done with Susan Micellis. It's the story of one woman's death. So I hope that you all take a look at that, because it'll give you a sense of what it's really like for a family in India to lose a mother and a woman. Of course, really difficult for these families.
And I think the thing that comes out so clearly for me, and I think will strike any woman who has children, I think the pictures showing her baby, this small, tiny little boy who is going to grow up without his mother. And when you understand that her death was preventable, that it wasn't simply a tragedy, but it was something that with relatively little effort and little cost could have been prevented. Those pictures of that baby are particularly, for me, poignant and tragic. And they're particularly tragic when you think about he lives in a rural area in India, so there will not be many photographs. There will not be videos. There will not be things that perhaps children in a better resource setting would have. He will have very little of his mother when he grows up, and that's such a tragedy.
Yeah, actually, you'll see that the only photo of the woman, Kieran, who died is her national identification card. They didn't have any pictures of her. So I do hope that everyone will watch that. Thank you, Liesl, for being here today.
Thanks, Jesse.
That was Liesl Gertholz. She's the director of the Women's Rights Program at Human Rights Watch. You can see that multimedia feature by the photographer Susan Mycelis and reporter Demetha Luthra at hrw.org. I hope you'll check it out. That's Rights Watch for this week. Human Rights Watch is an independent organization dedicated to defending and protecting human rights throughout the world. For more about us, including audio, video, and multimedia features, please visit hrw.org. Thanks for listening to Rights Watch. I'm Jesse Graham.